This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9. Bent Notes is our weekly jazz program going to air each Sunday night.
My guest tonight started a band back in 1985 when he was at the VCA. But before that, he had an upbringing in a musical family where he was brought up on a diet of jazz. His father is described as a national treasure and as local jazz royalty. Therefore, it is fitting, I reckon, that I bid a very warm welcome to Prince Steve Settergreen. Welcome, Steve.
Well, I've never been called Prince, but I certainly like that, David. Thank you. It's great to be here again. I love being here. What a great Sunday evening show. What great music and great vibe. Love listening, and thank you very much for having me again.
It is a pleasure indeed, Steve. It's always great to have you in studio because you're so excited and enthusiastic about jazz.
Well, it's not just jazz, it's just the love of music. As I get a little bit older, we're all a bit equal in regards of we all love music the same way. No one loves it more than someone else, so that makes it equal. Just I'm a bit more experienced on the jazz side because of my lucky upbringing, you know.
Indeed you are. Now, you were last in the studio with Mel, actually.
It was three months ago,
I think it was. And you were here to talk about putting the Mistaken Identity Band back together for a gig at the Kew Courthouse, and that was a fantastic gig. I was able to get there. That was beautiful. Now, that was two Settergreens on stage with the band, and tonight you're going to be talking to us about three Settergreens on stage with the band. And is there room for three of you?
Well, depends which one of you talk to us, but we'll make room. It's difficult because we're all strong will energies and all different ways of doing things, but the love of music's the thing, and the family vibe is what we're really on about. So that's really what we love sharing. Yes, we might be a bit popular sometimes, but it's about playing in the moment and being yourself. And I think that's really difficult in a world where we're starting to sort of tick too many boxes. And so when you get music that we seem to share and love and gravitate to, that people will love the concert, and that's what we're on about.
And that's what it's all about. Every time there's a concert, the audience is there to enjoy themselves and get something out of the music. How many more Settergreens can we fit on stage?
Well, it could be a few more, but let's leave it till three. That's enough. We consider them all Settergreens. We've got also, you know, obviously Julie O'Hara and Axel Whitehead and Nick Haywood and Tony Floyd. They're all family people, so it's all connected in the extended family. You know, keep listening to great music. You know, even if we don't share the stage, yeah, we all love the music, especially jazz and improvising. And trying to be loyal to the music that we love.
Was Bob the first Settergreen that was a musician here in Melbourne?
Yes, he was. Yeah, he was very lucky. He got to play with his whole record collection over his journey. He had a lot of mentors. He was like the young pup, and played with the great Brian Brown and Tim Vining and Barry Buckley and others. And just, you know, he loved music. And, you know, Mel and I were lucky enough to be... We'd be family. We just tagged along, and we went to all these great concerts. They would do big supports to, you know, anyone from Dizzy Gillespie, Al Fitzgerald, you know, the Count Basie. We would just be around. We'd just see all that stuff. So it was not surprising Mel and I would end up being musicians, but it was never forced for us. It was just something that we both love. We do have different ways of going about it, but the general thing of loving music and connecting with people and making sure that, you know, we continue a legacy of being Australian, connected with the music and loving the music we love.
Adam Rudiger says that what Bob and he sees as the true spirit of jazz, which is communicating and having fun, that was on the Bourbon to Brunswick Street album, which was released a couple of years ago. What do you see as Bob's philosophy of jazz? And do Mel and yourself share that same philosophy?
Of course we share it Dad never taught us, but, you know, just being environment. Look, jazz is really about free spirits, about being you. It's about sharing what you feel in the moment. We all do it differently, which makes it really, really, really beautiful. If we all did the same, then it wouldn't be jazz, you know? It wouldn't be what's about. So that philosophy of being yourself, being true to the moment, but also doing what you need to do to make it feel really good and stuff like that. So I think you're chasing a feeling. That's basically it. And there's lots of feelings and everyone does it in a different way. So that's where the respect comes from. It's just hard sometimes to get that a regular routine like we used to, say, years ago when we would play regularly, that we just got to pull off when we get up there and make it work somehow. And that's what will happen on Friday night coming.
Because that's this coming Friday night, isn't
it's
it?
Coming, it's coming this Friday, yeah, 30th.
Not very far away, just a couple of days.
Not a couple of days will be fine.
Now, I believe that there's a special reason for this gig this coming Friday night, and it might be related to Bob. Is there something special happening for Bob, or has it already happened?
It's already happened. Dad turned 76 yesterday, and...
Well, here we go. To you, Bob, happy birthday. And we do hope you have many, many more, Bob. Happy birthday.
We certainly do.
And what a way to celebrate a birthday by getting the family together.
You know, it just happened that way. It just, the promoters didn't know about it. It's just, it's fantastic at that time of year. You know, that we've done these sort of concerts and it's happening close to Father's Day and the whole connection. And both Mel and I being dads now, and dads of lots of kids because we teach at different schools and sharing. I just think we've been very, very blessed to be able to share it. And the guests are fantastic, so we're going to really make sure it's a special show. It was great to see it the last show, David, when I was there with Mel, and we really put on the show.
And we did indeed.
Really not, you know, with jazz, you've got to over-prepare because you don't know what you're going to do. So, you know, I'm not having a go at structured music, but, you know, when it's framed, you've got an idea and you've got an outcome, but we've got no idea what's going to happen on that stage on Friday night. So the people will come, there'll be a lot of people there, 350, 400 people there will love what we're about to do.
It will be an absolutely amazing space. If we take you back, you said that you've grown up in this jazz environment, you weren't pushed to do anything. Did you feel in your own mind that there was a pressure to take up an instrument?
No, not at all. I fell in love with the piano, and I think, we don't know it's true, but I think it was young Rebecca Barnard. You know, Dad would be at parties, you know, and there'd be all these musicians, and some beautiful blonde girl playing the piano, so I decided to play the piano. I didn't even have the idea that Dad really played the piano much.
And, really?
And I went my first lesson from I learned from a blind teacher. I think that's why I talk about this deep listening thing all the time and intuitive thing that I was taught. Classical piano very well by a daughter and the mother, and I learnt by feel. Yeah, you know, how to feel the notes. It was interesting, I walked in before and I heard my song, Unspoken Responses. There was no way that I even came with a melody before I played that. That was just basically a Ben who was on the bass and Mike who have spent a lot of time. Here's some framework and we made it up. And I don't even know if I can play it back the same way again. I probably could transcribe it and play it back, but that's how I tackle the music. I try and keep it as fresh as I can. Really to that true thing. And right, as you said, being an educator, writing a book about jazz, being in the moment, being true to yourself. It's not a worked out thing to me. It's lots of different ways, but to me, that's what it's about. And I think that's what I picked up from my father and other great musicians. The musicians were just hearing, just full of some great music you've played so far. And we all do it differently. So it's great that I'm tied in with Mel and Dad, you know. But I think equally, even if I wasn't tied, it'd be the same sort of approach. And the love of music's really important to keep that going for all of us, because we live in a pretty brittle world now in terms of, you know, ticking boxes and get everything done. That if we can take people away from all their worries and love the music and try to share what we do and celebrate the love of music, I think then we've done our job.
Even just for that short hour or 2 hours that the gig is on, it takes you away from the worries of the world generally, doesn't it?
Well, you got to dig deep. You know, this is what I do. I just close my eyes and you listen and it just all works. And so when you've got all these great musicians with you, you're just going to have to work out. So obviously we'll get together maybe the night before and we'll discuss maybe what we play. But when we get to it, will all change when we get up there, because the audience really play a big part of this, because they're part of that sharing. That's really what I'm on about. They're part of that decision making, even though they don't know it. And then because we've been doing it for a long time, we've got the experience of taking where we want to do it. Like any conversation like we're having here right now.
Exactly.
And as long as it's inviting and we all feel part of it, because I reckon jazz is about openness. That's really what jazz is about. We don't care what your background is, who you are, as long as you can play, which means can you communicate and connect with all.
Can you listen to each other?
Can you make it work? And we all do it differently. And we're very lucky because we get the light sometimes to share what we want to do, and how lucky are we?
Let's have a listen to yourself and Mel communicating with your Mistaken Identity band from the album Live, and this is disc one that we're going to hear from, a piece entitled One for Barry. Was Barry a particular person?
Yeah, that was Barry Buckley, who was a big part of Dad and Ted Vining, that trio. He actually played Ted and Barry. There was a time where Mel and I shacked up with those two, and this one's called One for Barry. Mel wrote this one.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Find more Joycasts and show blogs, go to joy.org.au.
You are listening to Bent Notes, 2 hours of jazz each and every Sunday night here on Joy, where my guest tonight is pianist, educator, composer, and one of the three Settergreens, Steve Settergreen. Steve, we've got a message that's come in. That's Rex telling us that we've got a message.
Fantastic. What's the message? Tell me what the message is.
Well, we've got a message from Chum. And Chum writes, "Hi David and Corey and Steve," I'm putting that in there as well. "My Sunday is great with warm weather and Bent Notes. Hope you are enjoying playing the tunes." And now, and he also includes a question for you, Steve. "Did you have family concerts around the piano when you were young?"
We sort of did. It was more that we just kept exploring, you know, because we're all into music, right? We more had more family time. Mel and I spent a lot of time because Dad would be out performing, but never really like formal concert. It wasn't like show and tell, that sort of vibe, if it's what we're looking at. It was more about just exploring, finding new things to do and exploring things and you know, finding ways around it. Sometimes Mel and I would, you know, throw things at each other, but as brothers do, but we certainly know how to learn from each other and have that experience.
You'd be playing piano and Steve, Mel would be playing...
Yeah, and Mel's actually brilliant. I'm only a piano player, but Mel can do a show occasionally, talking about shows and make fun of Dad and I and play all our licks and stuff like that. So he's very good at not mimicking, but just making fun and having fun if you give him the right mood.
Well, thank you, Steve, for that, and thank you, Chum, for your question. Now, Steve, as you and Mel did back in June with Mistaken Identity, you, Mel, and your father, Bob, are getting the band back together on August the 30. What's the driver to get yourselves back together? Is it something that you've done regularly over your careers?
Well, we used to, before I became a dad, we used to, at the Great Montsalvat, every this weekend we would do a concert. A family concert, and everyone wait for that concert. And then, as soon as I became a dad, because one of the concerts I really missed because my wife went into labour and stuff like that. But so, after a while of doing those sort of concerts, I said I can't do anymore. So we haven't done for a while. So it just happened to fill in the thing that Mel and Dad, they're both from the same council and stuff like that, and they're really good people out there at Hawthorne. It's really taking shape. That's a really good shape concert there. Beautiful hall. Was in there the other day to have a look at it.
It's the Hawthorne Arts Centre.
Hawthorne's beautiful. There's a beautiful Steinway piano for Dad and I to share somehow with keyboards and all these great musicians. Nick, who we had on the bass before, will be on who was playing with Mel there before, will be on the bass and all the great musicians. And a really good, it'll be a very beautiful show.
Now, if you're playing piano and Bob's playing piano, are you only having one piano on stage and sharing it, or have you got some other keyboards?
Other keys, but we just look... What happens. We just got no idea. You know, he might kick me off. I might kick him off. We might stay there. We'll make it work. You know how to share the space. That's how with such a range of instruments, you just find different space and all those musicians. It certainly won't be clustered because that's not what we're on about. Because we're into be in tune with the space and working with that. If someone's on fire, you've got to go with it. You know, if Mel's playing great solo she was doing before, then we work for it. If Dad's doing it, if Axel Whitehead's doing it, or if it's Julie O'Hara, we'll make it work somehow. You just learn to share. That's the experience of being a good musician.
It's that art of listening and doing the right thing.
It certainly is, and how to use the space really, really effectively.
Talking about fantastic players, I've picked up an album called Unanimity, and it's Tony Gould and Bob Settergreen on two pianos.
Yes.
A Steinway and a Bösendorfer.
Yes, they certainly know. They're very opposite, those two.
It is a wonderful album. They were certainly listening to each other when they recorded that one.
Plus, they love each other very much. They know how to make fun of each other, so they've been very, very much following each other's footpaths. You know, Tony and Dad, they're very, very, very good mates and still around to share their great musical wisdom.
Well, Steve, thank you so much for dropping to the studio here in Bentnotes tonight. It has been an absolute pleasure once again.
Thank you for having me. I love coming. Thank you for the great show you guys do. And it's really great, all these guests you bring in, a lot of my friends and people that I really, really respect. And thank you for looking after particularly the instrumental and vocal jazz and all those guests. I think you do a great job. Thank you very, very much from the bottom of my heart.
Thank you very much, Steve. To summarise, the Three Settergreens, this Friday, August the 30, 2019, Hawthorne Arts Centre, that beautiful hall there. For more details about the Three Settergreens, you can check out stevesettergreen.com or bobsettergreen.com. And for more information and tickets to the show on August the 30th, check the Three Settergreens, or search for the Three Settergreens Hawthorne, and click on the Burundara link. That's the easiest way to get
there,
I reckon.
That's the easiest way. And you're looking for, and come shake my hand, say hello, you heard me on the radio, because I'll really appreciate that.
That's it indeed. Steve, thanks again for chatting to us here on Bent Notes tonight. My best wishes for a very wonderful family reunion show in the Three Settergreens at the Hawthorne Arts Centre.
Thank you kindly.
And I look forward to having you back on the studio very soon.
Let's do it again. Maybe do some live playing one day. Wouldn't that be amazing?
That would be wonderful, Steve. Let's put that on the calendar.
Let's put that on the calendar.
Indeed.
That would be great.
In the meantime, Adam Rudigier played with Bob Settergreen on an album called Bourbon Street to Brunswick Street back in 2015. Here's Muskrat Ramble.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.